أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي. الحمد لله، نستعينه ونستهديه ونستغفره ونتوب إليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله ولتنظر نفسا ما قدمت لغد، واتقوا الله إن الله خبير بما تعملون. ولا تكونوا كالذين نسوا الله فأنساهم أنفسهم أولئك هم الفاسقون. أما بعد، فإن أفضل الحديث كلام الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. Dear brothers and sisters, I'd like to discuss a slightly controversial point today. I'm sure that you've heard a lot of people pose the question, is life fair? And to try and tackle this, we need to first identify what do we mean by fair. Is fairness an objective thing or a subjective thing? Just to try and elaborate on that, say for example we say that this job or this person deserves a certain salary. This person deserves a fair salary. What's the definition of a fair salary? If we apply this to life, then it becomes quite clear that it is a subjective thing, not an objective evaluation. The question of whether life is fair or not is really a mindset. It's a mindset of entitlement. And usually you'll find that if I didn't get what I want, according to my definition, then I'd say that life is not fair. Whereas if I get what I want, then I feel that life is fair. So when somebody doesn't get what they really want, then all of a sudden they start deciding that, oh, life is not fair. And they start worrying about what's happening in the world. Look what's happening in Syria, look what's happening in Palestine, look what's happening here and there, look up at the kids dying, look at the hurricanes. Life is not fair. And this is not true. Because when things are going fine for the same person, he doesn't have these feelings. So really it's a question of a mindset. Ibn al-Qayyim, rahimahullah, said that people who accuse God of being unfair actually want life to be unfair, but unfair in their favor. So he says that you don't care about life being unfair when you have things going on well for you. And when you have things going on for you and you hear about other things happening elsewhere, then you start quoting all the things that you know about sabr and about hikmah and all these things. But when things are not going on well for you, all of a sudden you start complaining that life is unfair. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam has a hadith that says, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ أَسْلَمَ وَرُزِقَ فَفَافًا وَقَرْنَعَهُ اللَّهُ بِمَا أَتَاهُ. Three things. He is a winner, this he who first of all surrenders to Allah, aslama. وَرُزِقَ كَفَافًا, and when given just enough to keep him going or keep her going. But more importantly, وَقَنَّعَهُ اللَّهُ بِمَا أَتَاهُ, and Allah makes him accept and happy what or he or she has. So this is really what it's all about. It's about the mindset. It's about whether you are willing to accept and whether you are happy with what you have or not. Now, to take this further, so that we don't get too much into philosophical arguments, let's look at the Sunnah. Let's look at Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now let's first of all establish one thing. We know that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, khayru khalqillah. He's the best of the creations of Allah. And we know that Allah loves Prophet Muhammad. He even tells us if you love Prophet Muhammad, you love Allah. So this is how high this man was at. And yet let's go through his seerah. Imam al-Qurtubi has written a very nice thing about Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He says that the Prophet was tested with every phase of life. And let's try to follow this through what Imam al-Qurtubi has written about him. He says that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was tested with wealth. We know that when Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam married Sayyida Khadija, she was one of the wealthiest women of Quraysh. And so the Prophet became very wealthy. He was a very, very wealthy man at one time. And what did he do with the wealth? He passed the test of wealth, because wealth is a test, by the way. Everything that happens in life is a test. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has passed the test of the wealth. When he was very wealthy, it was well known that this did not change his personality in any way. He continued to be very kind. He continued to free slaves with whatever money he had or he could. He never became arrogant. And we all know the story what happened when he came from the ghar, when he saw Angel Jibreel, and he was very frightened. He was worried about what he see. And Sayyida Khadija told him the famous saying, Allah would never let you down because you are kind to people and you tasil ar-rahim, you always do well to your relatives. And she told us all about his good deeds and his good actions. So when he was wealthy, he passed the test of the wealth. Then he was tested again. But this time he was tested with poverty. And not just with poverty. He was tested with extreme poverty. Not just poverty of money. You know that in 1 year, his uncle, who used to protect him, died. His loving wife died. And his people shunned him. So all of a sudden, he became poor money-wise, he became poor family-wise, he became poor support-wise. So he was tested in a very, very severe means of testing, of poverty. And what did he do? Again, he passed the test. Why? Because he showed us what is the meaning of a sabrul jameel. Because sabr is, we all know what sabr is, which is to be patient about things, bad things that happen to you. But sabr al-jameel, it is the same like the Prophet Moses' mother said, sabrun jameel. Sabr al-jameel means to be content and to be satisfied with whatever God gives you. To be satisfied with whatever happens to you. To be satisfied with whatever life throws at you. And so, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as I said again, when he was tested with severe poverty, when he was tested with all these things, he passed the test because he practiced as-sabr al-jameel. When he went to call people, he went to get some support from another village nearby. They shunned him and they got the kids to throw stones at him and his feet were bleeding and he was running away, getting away from the abuse. And what did he say? Did he complain about life being unfair? All what he said, he put his hands up to Allah and he said, Ya Allah, in lam yakun bika ghadabun alayya, fala ubali. If you are not angry with me, I don't care. I don't care about what life throws at me. So, this really is an important part, important lesson to learn, because in most religions, they preach what they call the prosperity doctrine. That they say, if Allah is, you know, if your God is happy with you, He will give you everything in life. Islam, however, preaches the other way around. Because when Allah loves you, He tests you. Allah tests you more. Those He loves more are tested more. And we'll come back to this in a minute, you know, when we discuss this a bit further. So, the Prophet passed the test of wealth. The Prophet passed the test of poverty. And then he was tested with what we call al-kafaf. Al-kafaf means having just enough to survive. Not enough to go overboard, but just enough to survive. We know that from the seerah that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Sayyida Aisha, his wife, tells us that in his house, they never used to have two meals a day. He had maximum one meal a day. And the other meal was just some bread and some tamr and some dates. And she told us that months, weeks and weeks used to pass and they did not light a fire in the house. Meaning that they had no food to cook. He did not eat any hot meals for weeks and weeks at a time. Where did he live? He lived in very small, tiny rooms. We know from the seerah that sometimes when he got up to pray at night, he had to ask Sayyida Aisha to move her legs because the room was not even big enough for him to stand up and pray. So this is the sort of life he was living. We know the famous story about Umar ibn al-Khattab when he saw the Prophet getting up because he used to sleep on a very hard sort of bed and he got up and there were some markings on his back and Umar ibn al-Khattab cried and he said, I've seen the palaces of Kisra and the palaces of Caesar and I've seen what sort of luxury they live in. Why are you living this way? And what did the Prophet say? He told him, Allah tarda anna lahum ad-dunya wa lana al-akhirah. Is it not good enough that they have this world, but we have the hereafter? And what did the Prophet used to do his dua? He used to say, Allahumma arzuq ala Muhammadin quta. Just give my family food enough just to sustain them. So this is where he chose to be. This is where he chose to live, in the kafaf. So he passed again, yet again, he passed the test of kafaf. So during his lifetime, he passed through phases of great wealth, he passed through phases of extreme poverty, and by choice he lived in kafaf just enough. Above all these things, he was tested by losing 6 of 7 children. Can you imagine? When somebody loses one child, when somebody has to go and bury one child, it is a very severe experience. It's a very serious experience. It's a mind-changing, it's a life-changing experience. And the Prophet buried 6 of his children. 6 of his children died during his lifetime. So, we need to look at the seerah of Prophet Muhammad to learn about life. We need to look at his seerah to understand the meaning of life and what is meant by is life fair or is life unfair. Further on, if we take this further, we need to understand also the dua, because a lot of people say, رَبَّنَا أَتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَا وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَا وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. I want both. I want the life and I want the hereafter. I want plenty of things in life. I want millions of pounds, and I want lots of cars, and I want lots of houses. This is not what is meant by this dua. By the way, there is nothing wrong with wealth. A lot of the Sahaba were quite wealthy. A lot of the Sahaba were quite well off. But wealth is a test. And it's a very severe test, as a matter of fact. It's a harder test to pass than poverty or kafaf. Anyhow, so Imam al-Basri, Hassan al-Basri, explain to us what is the meaning of the dua, رَبَّنَا أَتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَا وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَا. When they asked him, what is the hasana of the dunya? And he said, the hasana of the dunya is 3 things. عِلْمٌ نَافِعٌ, that is beneficial knowledge. وَرِزْقٌ طَيِّبٌ, that is halal sustenance, things that sustain you. وَعَمَلٌ مُتَقَبَّلٌ, and accepted deeds. Because you might do a lot of deeds, but they are not accepted by Allah. And so he says that this is what is meant by حَسَنَةِ الدُّنْيَا, رَبَّنَا أَتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً. Now, you might say, fine, you know, this is the Prophet. Where are we from the Prophet? We can't get any closer, which is quite true. But what happens to the Prophet and what happened to the Sahaba happened for a reason. It is for us to learn from them. So if we look at the Sahaba, see what happens. You know, you all heard about Ahl al-Suffa. Ahl al-Suffa were a group of very, very poor Muslims who lived, immigrated to Medina, and they had nothing. They were homeless. They had no money. They had no jobs. They were just sitting. They used to sit in the mosque because they had nowhere else to go. And they went to complain to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And here's the interesting thing. What did they complain about? Did they go and say, we're homeless? We want houses? Did they say, we want money? We want clothes? No. They said, Ya Rasulullah, we are penniless. Those Sahaba who are rich are spending the money left, right and center in the ways of Allah. So they are getting a lot of thawab. Whereas we don't have money to spend, so we are not getting this thawab. So this is where they complained. They didn't say life is unfair because we're not getting money. Life is unfair because they have money and we don't have. They said, look, they have the money, so they are spending it in the ways of Allah, but we don't have this money, so we can't spend it in the way of Allah. This is what they complained about. They didn't complain for themselves. And the Prophet told them, shall I tell you how to get the same thawab? Say, Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar, after each prayer. And this is how we learned how to do about that. So that after a while, they went back to the Prophet and they said, look, you're doing that, but now the rich ones have also heard about it, and they are doing it. So they are getting the thawab as well. This is not fair. And what did he say? ذَلِكَ فَضْلُ اللَّهِ يُؤْتِيهِ مَنْ يَشَاءُ. This is from Allah. He gives everybody whatever he wishes. So this is what they were complaining about. This was the mindset of the Sahaba. And this is what I mean when I say it's a mindset. One of the famous Sahabi is Rabi'a ibn Ka'b al-Aslami. He was one of the people, he was homeless, he was penniless, he was young, and he was single. He had nothing. And one day the Prophet ﷺ told him, Salni, ask, demand from me and I'll give you whatever you want. Salni. And what did he ask for? What do you think a young, single, penniless man would ask for? He said, أسألك مرافقتك. I ask you for your companionship in Al-Jannah. I want to be with you in Al-Jannah. He said, so the Prophet told him, fine, you have this. Salni, ask. And what did he say? I want your companionship, مرافقتك, and a Lamborghini, and a little house, or, you know, some money. No. He said, that's all what I want. This was his mindset. All what he wanted. He understood what life was all about. So what he wanted was to guarantee his place with the Prophet ﷺ in the Akhirah. The Prophet could have given him anything he wanted. But this is the mindset. So we need to understand that what happens in life, how we deal with what's happening in life, is all about the mindset, is how we think about it. We need to remember that wealth is a greater test than poverty. So don't think that, you know, people who are given lots of money and lots of everything, they probably do have a harder time to stick to their straight path. Another thing we need to remember is that life might appear not fair, but we need to remember that Allah is fair. Allah, one of His names is Al-Adl. Allah is fair. And we need to remember that Allah tells us, لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها. Allah does not burden or test any of us except with what He knows that they can handle. So if you are tested with poverty, then He knows that you can handle it. And He knows that's what's best for you. If you are tested with ill health, He knows that that's what's best for you and He knows that you can handle it. If you are tested with great wealth, then He knows that you can handle it as well, because He only asks you what you can. So, the message I want to say today is, life will not wait for you to adjust your mind. Life will keep coming at you. You need to adjust your mindset now. You need to accept whatever life throws at you, and you need to understand that this is something that whatever comes to you is what's best for you and what you can cope with. So please, please, if you hear somebody saying life is unfair, just explain to them, no, There's no unfairness in life. There's a mindset of accepting what life throws at you, and there's a mindset of not being able to accept what life throws at you. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين ولا عدوان إلا على الظالمين. الإمام ابن حزم, he was a very famous scholar, one of the great scholars of his time, was a very rich man, and he was a very knowledgeable man. The only weakness in Imam ibn Hazm was that he used to enter into lots of debates. He used to like going into debates. And he was so eloquent and so well-spoken and so knowledgeable that he always won whatever debates he went into. So one day he was debating a scholar who came from a poorer background, so not as well off as the Imam. And again, they had the debate going and coming, and Imam ibn Hazm that just put in bits of information and a hadith that made him win the debate. So the other scholar took a little cheap shot at him, and he told him, you know what, you managed to get the extra information. I couldn't get this extra information because the oil in my lamp ran out. So hinting that because I'm poor and I didn't have enough money to buy enough oil, my lamp ran out at night, so I couldn't do the reading. But because you're richer, you've done that. And the Imam looked at him and he says, you know what? And I managed to do the extra reading because my pure gold lamp was lit all night. And I managed to do the reading. And again, what he meant by that, of course he did not have a gold lamp at home or anything. What he meant to tell him was, yes, you might have been tested by poverty, but I am tested by wealth. And being wealthy is a harder test than poverty. So again, he won the debate. So it's just an example of the sort of thing that we're talking about, that you know that it is very hard to deal with whatever is thrown at you, but it is harder to deal with great wealth than it is to deal with poverty. I'll just leave you with some ayat from the Quran where it says, وَلَنُبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ وَنَقْصٍ مِّنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنفُسِ وَالثَّمَرَاتِ وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ. We shall test you with bits of fear, with some hunger, some shortage of money and shortage of people and goods, and whoever can put up with this has got the glad tidings. And Allah tells us, وَنَبْلُوَكُمْ بِالشَّرِّ وَالْخَيْرِ فِتْنَةً وَإِلَيْنَا تَرْجِعُونَ. We test you with good and we test you with bad. So both, whatever life throws at you is a test, and this is from the Quran. And what does he say here? It's a very interesting ayah because it says, وَإِلَيْنَا تَرْجِعُونَ. So what is, how do you deal with this? How do you deal with الشر, the bad things if they happen to you, والخير, and how do you deal with plenty of wealth or whatever? Both of these are fitna. Fitna means a test. وَإِلَيْنَا تَرْجِعُونَ. That's the mindset. Remember that you're going to come back to Allah. Whatever happens here is only temporary. We're going to go back to Allah. So when we deal with whatever life throws at us, we remember that it is a test, and we're going to go back to Allah. So we don't moan and we don't complain and we don't say life is unfair to us. Also, in another part of the Quran, it says, "Alif lam mim, ahasib al-nas an yutraku an yaqulu amanna wa hum la yuftanun." Do people think that they will say, "We believe," without being tested? So it's simple to say, "I believe. Yes, I love God. Yes, I believe," but you will be tested. I will be tested. Everybody is tested. Allah tells us that in the Quran. Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم said, "In عظم الجزاء ما عظم البلاء. وإن الله إذا حب قوما ابتلاهم فمن رضى الله فمن رضي فله الرضا ومن سخط فله السخط." The harder you are tested, the bigger the reward. And if Allah loves somebody, If Allah loves some people, He tests them. So when they are tested, whoever accepts the test and whoever takes it gracefully, he will be rewarded. وَمَنْ سَخَطَ فَلَهُ السَّخْطَ. And whoever grumbles and whoever doesn't like it and whoever complains, then that's what he gets. So there are endless ayat and endless ahadith that discuss this. The Prophet tells us, أَكْمَلُ النَّاسِ إِيمَانًا أَشْدُهُمْ ابْتِلَاءً. The higher level you are, the higher the test you are. The Prophet tells us, أَشَدُّ النَّاسَ بَلَاءً الْأَنْبِيَاءِ ثُمَّ الصَّالِحُونَ ثُمَّ الْأَمْثَلُ فَالْأَمْثَلُ. The hardest people who are tested were the Prophets, and then those who were Salihin, and then the higher. So if you are tested, it doesn't mean that life is being unfair to you. If you are tested, if anything, in our belief, it means that Allah probably holds you in a high position. As a matter of fact, some of the Salihin used to worry if they don't get a test. You know, every week or so, they start to get worried. They start to get finicky. What's happening? Life is so easy. You know, has Allah got something? You know, does Allah is not happy with me? Anyway, it's as I said, just to end up, it's a mindset. We need to have the right mindset. If we have the right mindset, we can deal with whatever life throws at us. Allahumma ardina wa arda anna. وعافنا واعف عنا اللهم زدنا ولا تنقصنا وأكرمنا ولا تهنا واعطنا ولا تحرمنا وآثرنا ولا تؤثر علينا اللهم اغفر لنا جميع ما مضى من ذنوبنا وعصمنا فيما ما بقي من عمرنا اللهم يا مقلب القلوب ثبت قلوبنا على دينك اللهم آت نفوسنا تقواها وزكيها أنت خير من زكاها أنت وليها ومولاها اللهم اغفر للمؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات الأحياء منهم والأموات اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين وأذل الشرك والمشركين ودمر أعداءك أعداء الدين اللهم انصر المسلمين في كل مكان اللهم انصر المجاهدين في سبيلك في كل مكان اللهم اصلح أحوال المسلمين في كل مكان واغني فقرائهم واشف مرضانا ومرضاهم يا رب العالمين ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار وأدخلنا الجنة مع الأبرار وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله. عباد الله، إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون فاذكروا الله يذكركم واستغفروه يغفر لكم وأقم الصلاة يرحمك الله.